Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican online edition, dated January 24th, 2020. We will begin today's reading with this article. It's headlined, Piatt County Therapist Keeps Busy During First Semester in Schools. The Bement School Board on January 8th heard an update on new countywide therapy services that have been added in three county school districts thanks to a partnership between Kirby Medical Center, the Piatt County Mental Health Department, and the DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department. Mental Health Department Director Tony Kirkman is present to present information to the board. He said the idea of the partnership is a desire to reduce barriers to treatment, improve access, and to come alongside the faculty as an additional support tool. Therapist Luana Miller has met with numerous children in a confidential setting in the district once per week. The board was wowed by the statistics Kirkman was able to gather. Around 15 students participated, mostly middle school boys, with almost half meeting the criteria for anxiety and depression, said Kirkman. He added the students that participated represented 4.8% of the district, and there were around 50 sessions completed at the district. Superintendent Sheila Greenwood added, if you look at the statistics with that, our male population, that is, in a way, kind of unheard of. Even that percentage of men made that connection with her. So that's pretty unique and outstanding. Kirkman presented an ACE questionnaire to the board, which asks things like, were you touched by a person 5 years old or older than you? Did you feel often that you didn't have enough to eat? Were you pushed or shoved? Have your parents separated or divorced? And more. The survey helps gauge traumatic events that can help shape children. Kirkman added that the Bement District has been one of the most accommodating to the partnership. If you advocate for mental health treatment, then you're making it available. You're acknowledging that there is a mental health need. And some places don't choose to say that. We've got things that we need to work on, he said. Under the heading of Idea in Bulldog Minute, we have this. Donna Sharp led the Bulldog Minute at the meeting. She is one of the licensed guidance counselors for the district and has a new idea for collecting data from alums. Her idea is to conduct a new survey system through email rather than addresses to see how past students feel about their education at Bement. Previously, the district subscribed to a service called LifeTrack. This service contacted the students in their first year after graduation and the fifth year. The new system is something the counselors want to create on their own in hopes of having more response. What we are proposing is to do our own survey contacting graduates via email and asking them about their experiences at Bement High School. We can compose our own questions, and hopefully we will get a better percentage of graduates responding. Greenwood told the board there is no update on the Dan Brew investigation. The FBI stated to her that they will have an update in about a month. There are 16 high school students participating in Scholastic Bowl, which started Thursday. There is an Illinois youth survey given to 8th, 10th, and 12th grade students during the first week of February, Principal Kepley said. The results of this survey enables our school to identify issues that our students deal with and provide support and education in these areas. Overall, in 65 days of service, 59 individual students were resourced and 293 individual counseling sessions completed. A total of 31% of students reside in home with both biological parents, and 42% had a prior mental health history. In the family history of those served, 39% had at least one member of the family with a history of current and or past mental health. 20% had at least one member of the family with a history of substance abuse, and 20% had at least one parent with a criminal conviction. Our next article is headlined, Thomas Announces Independent Run for Piatt County Judge. Monticello attorney Steve Thomas has shown in the past he is not beholden to a particular political party, having run for various offices on both Democratic and Republican ballots. In November, he plans to run as an independent for the 6th Judicial Circuit opening for Piatt County. He feels that not aligning to a major party is a better fit for a judicial candidate, which he thinks should be nonpartisan anyway. I've always been bothered by the fact that judges identify with political parties. They should be impartial, and in a society that is more and more partisan, I just think a judge that is independent is more inherently likely to be impartial, said Thomas, who grew up in Mahomet and has been a practicing attorney since 1999. He will not be on the primary ballot, which will allow him to circulate nominating petitions as an independent in March for the November general election. If successful, he will square off against current Piatt County State's Attorney Dana Rhodes, a Republican who's the only candidate on the March 17th primary ballot. Thomas is also critical of the current situation that prevents current resident Judge Hugh Finson from hearing local criminal cases due to the fact he is the uncle of Rhodes. The Sixth Circuit has adjusted by swapping Finson with other county judges. In a situation he fought in court but was turned down by circuit and appellate courts, the arrangement should be alleviated with the retirement of Finson next year, but it still sticks in Thomas's craw. A judge is not to be just a representative in the overall scheme of the courts. He's got to serve that county, he said. Thomas said he will come out with a booklet outlining his judicial thoughts during the campaign. He has chapter titles already, which include Don't Overthink Things, Judge, 3 chapters on There Shall Be At Least One Judge for Every County, and Judges May Need Anger Management, too. He also totes his overall experience in education, including a Master of Divinity degree he obtained prior to working as a technical writer and instructor for Frasca International in Urbana. After 8 years with Frasca, he returned to school and earned his philosophy and law degrees from Southern Illinois University Carbondale and the University of Illinois. He was also an editor for the Piatt County Journal Republican some 20 years ago. I think the study of philosophy is especially helpful to a judge with its critical and precise thinking and wide variety of ideas, said Thomas. Thomas said his experience includes working with several private law firms before concentrating on his solo law practice in 2006 with state government in Springfield and is admitted to practice in federal bankruptcy courts. He ran for Piatt County State's Attorney in the 2012 Republican primary, where he was defeated by Rhodes. He was also on the Democratic ballot for an unsuccessful try for State Senate in 2012, and also ran as a write-in for judge in 2014. Our next article is headlined, Calkins Wants Answers in Voter Registration Glitch. Area State Representative Dan Calkins, a Republican of Decatur, has joined his Republican colleagues in the House to demand answers regarding the critical errors made by the Office of Illinois Secretary of State registering 545 non-citizens to vote in Illinois. Calkins supports an immediate legislative hearing regarding the state's automated voter registration program and a quick resolve to ensure these mistakes don't happen again. The fact that the Secretary of State kept this a secret for 17 months is outrageous, said Representative Calkins. When SOS found out that they were registering non-citizens to vote, they should have notified the State Board of Elections and county clerks immediately. I can't help but think this is a cover-up. It makes me wonder what else are they trying to hide, which is why I support a legislative hearing to determine what went wrong and a solution to fix it. Representative Calkins and his House Republican colleagues referenced a recently disclosed December 18, 2019 letter from the Secretary of State's office to the Illinois State Board of Elections that voter registration information of 574 self-identified non-citizens were forwarded to the Board of Elections. That registration was in turn forwarded to local election authorities for finalization of the voter registration process. Representative Calkins added, "The lack of compliance with state law by the Secretary of State's office is concerning. Protecting the integrity of our electoral process should have been a top priority. The law is the law. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you can't legally vote. It's obviously a better system needs to be put into place, and it should start with not registering non-citizens to vote." And in a companion article, we have this article entitled, "House Republicans Seek Probe of Non-Citizen Voting." State election officials confirm as many as 16 who identified as not being U.S. citizens voted in 2018 and 19. In a letter to Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, five Republicans who serve on the House Executive Committee called the erroneous registrations a serious breach of supposed protections put in place to ensure the integrity of our voter rolls in the state of Illinois. "This is an absurd lack of compliance with state law, surfacing less than 3 weeks from the opening of early voting for our state's 2020 general primary election," the Republicans wrote. "Given this, we are requesting an immediate hearing of the House Executive Committee to investigate this situation and to hear testimony directly from Secretary of State Jesse White, officials of the State Board of Elections, representatives from our local election authorities, and others concerned with this situation." The letter was signed by Representatives Tim Butler of Springfield, Keith Wheeler of Oswego, Joe Sosnowski of Rockford, Grant Worley of Naperville, and Ryan Spain of Peoria. In addition, all 19 Republican senators signed a letter directly addressed to White asking, among other things, what assurance he can provide that such an error won't happen again. Madigan's office did not respond to a request for comment, but Democratic Senator Andy Menar of Bunker Hill issued a statement Tuesday saying he might call for Senate hearings. "There is absolutely no room for administrative ineptitude when it comes to properly conducting our election system," Menar said. "Democrats and Republicans came together and unanimously approved automatic voter registration, and we expect it to be done correctly. If it takes a Senate committee hearing to get those answers, that's the course I'll pursue." In 2017, Illinois lawmakers unanimously passed Senate Bill 1933, which provides for automatic voter registration whenever someone applies for or renews a driver's license. Under that system, the Secretary of State's office shares a database with the State Board of Elections so driver's license officials can immediately tell if an applicant is already registered. If they are not, they are asked whether they want to be registered. If they say yes and they have checked a box indicating they are a U.S. citizen, their information is automatically forwarded to the State Board of Elections. But in a December 18, 2019 letter to the board, White's office said information from 574 people who self-identified as being non-citizens was mistakenly included in a batch of data transferred to the board. That information was then forwarded to local election officials to finalize their registrations. State Board of Elections spokesman Matt Dietrich said in an email that of the 574 people who checked no on the driver's license application citizenship question, 545 became registered anyway, a small fraction of the more than 7.9 million registered voters in Illinois. White's office said all of those individuals were lawfully present in the United States. The issue did not involve any undocumented immigrants applying for a temporary visitor's driver's license. Since they became registered, Dietrich said, 19 ballots have been cast by 16 individual voters who were improperly registered. 10 in the 2018 general election, 1 in the 2019 consolidated primary, and 8 in the 2019 consolidated general election. Those votes occurred in Champaign, Christian, Cook, DuPage, Lee, Macon, and Peoria counties, and the city of Chicago. One improperly registered voter in Chicago cast ballots in all three elections. He added that it was not certain all 16 actually were non-citizens. They may have checked that box in error, he said in an email. It was not immediately clear whether any of the races or ballot issues they voted in were close enough for their votes to have changed the outcome. The automatic voter registration system launched on July 2, 2018. According to the Secretary of the State's office, the computer programming error in that system caused people who checked no on the citizenship question to be included in nightly batches of voter registration applications sent to the State Board of Elections. That programming glitch wasn't discovered until December 13, 2019, and was immediately corrected, the Secretary of State's office said. That office is now working with local election officials to remove those names from voter rolls. It is also sending letters to those individuals advising them of the mistake and admonishing them not to vote. Next up for today is this article headlined, New Site Coordinator at Bryant Cottage in Bement. April Rothenbach has learned plenty about Abraham Lincoln and the Bement-based Bryant family in her first 5 months as the site interpretive coordinator at the Bryant Cottage State Historic Site. But even if she spends years helping people learn about the historic nature of the 806-square-foot mid-1800s, frontier-style home, she'll still be able to learn more. That first month going through, I just figured out what are the necessities for the tour. What do I need to know to give them a full picture? Then I started building up my Lincoln debate knowledge because that's an area I hadn't delved into. I read the transcripts for those and background knowledge on those, then branched out to the Bryant family and their history in town, said Rothenbach, who helped reopen the site in August after a nearly 18-month closure. Most Piatt County residents and even visitors who reach the cottage as a destination point know its main claim to fame, the place where Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas met in 1858 to plan their now famous series of debates for an Illinois senatorial seat. Douglas won that election, but the impression Lincoln made propelled him to the national presidency. But it's the lesser-known history of Francis E. Bryant and his family that currently interests Rothenbach, a Carlinville native who earned a degree in archaeology from the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse. When people come in, they usually have some idea that it's connected to Lincoln, and since we are somewhat out of the way, the people that come here are generally pretty excited and know a lot about Lincoln anyway, said Rothenbach. But what's exciting is when you get to share the other aspects of the home and the Bryant family and how all that connects together to create a bigger picture. That includes some of the artifacts in the four-room home, some of which are original and others that were brought in later. Something I'm looking forward to getting into because of my background as an archaeologist, we focus on material culture, so getting into some more detailed information about some of the inventory pieces we have here, some of the physical items and getting histories on those, she added. Rothenbach is also looking forward to getting the Bryant Cottage back on the map. That includes keeping popular events such as Heritage Sunday and the Christmas Open House back on the schedule, but also adding new events like Third Saturday Children's Reading Events, a summer croquet activity, and an Author's Day in November to celebrate Nellie Vern Burt McPherson, a Bement resident, who was the first to propose a National Reading Day back in 1928. All the events are aimed at one major theme, getting people back to celebrate the area's storied history. We want to reintroduce ourselves and let people know we are back open. We were closed about a year and a half, and so we need to build back up our visitorship, said Rothenbach, who will soon complete her advanced degree in archaeology through Ball State University. She's always been somewhat of a history enthusiast, the daughter of a Civil War buff. Originally interested in prehistory, an internship on the archaeology team that surveys sites for the Indiana Department of Transportation piqued her interest in more recent research. One of the exciting things about dealing with history is you have written records and things you can consult. You can actually research and figure out how people actually used it. In prehistory, it's a lot more on what are the possibilities. And under the heading of Bryant Cottage, we have this. The four-room, 806-square-foot home was constructed by Bryant in 1856 and 57. It was moved to another location in 1882 and back to the original site in 1925. After it was restored, it was donated to the village of Beaumont. The state of Illinois assumed jurisdiction in 1947. It was damaged by fire in 1991, but repaired and restored to historical standards. Another famous visitor through the years was Marilyn Monroe, who was given a tour of the historic site while in Beaumont for the town's centennial in 1955. The site is open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturdays. It can be reached by calling 217-678-8184. It was named to the National Registry of Historic Places in 2017. And now, turning to the obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. James H. Schaefer, 79, of White Heath, passed away at 7:32 p.m. January 19, 2020, at the Kirby Medical Center in Monticello. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, January 25, 2020, at the Christ Lutheran Church in Monticello, with Pastor Julia Rademacher officiating. A visitation will be held at the church for 1 hour prior to the service. James E. Singleton, 79, of Monticello, passed away at 6:37 p.m. January 18, 2020, at North Shore University Health System in Evanston Hospital in Evanston, Illinois. A visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, January 23, 2020, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. A funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, January 24, 2020, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home, with Jason Epperson officiating. Interment will be in Monticello Township Cemetery. Ricky Oates of Crest Hill, 60, formerly of White Heath, died on December 29, 2019. A celebration of life will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, January 25th at the White Heath Methodist Church, with a service at 2 p.m. Sandra L. Hicks, 69, of Beaumont, Illinois, passed away at 5:20 a.m. on Friday, January 17, 2020, at the Decatur Memorial Hospital in Decatur, Illinois. Funeral services will be held at 12 p.m. on Tuesday, January 21, 2020, at the Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street in Beaumont. The Pastor Mark Phillips officiated, and visitation was held from 10 a.m. until time of services on Tuesday at the funeral home. Burial will be in the Monticello Township Cemetery, Monticello, Illinois. Memorial contributions can be made to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital or the American Cancer Society. And now, returning to the news and views, we have this article headlined, John Rupke is new Monticello Fire Chief. Monticello Fire and Rescue has a new chief. The City Council voted unanimously on January 13th to appoint longtime firefighter and previous assistant chief John Rupke to the post. He replaces Rick Dobson, who retired at the end of 2019. John has a wonderful background, said Mayor Larry Stoner. He's been a firefighter for the city of Monticello since 1996 and has been assistant fire chief 2010 to present. Rupke has also completed Firefighter 2 training, fire responder, and EMR training. He works as a pharmacist and has additional medical training. John, thank you very much for volunteering to take care of this. You are a pillar of the community, and I am really looking forward to working with you, added Stoner. Under the heading of appropriations, we have this. Council members approved the annual appropriations ordinance. The state-mandated document uses the city budget as a base, then adds about 10% to make sure enough money is statutorily authorized if needed. The appropriation ordinance serves as the city's legal spending authority and sets the maximum legal spending limit for the year. The appropriation ordinance is slightly inflated over the adopted fiscal year 2020 budget to allow for unforeseen revenues and or expenditures, said City Administrator Terry Summers. City Council member Pam Harlan was blunt when it came to her opinion on some of the downtown Christmas decorations. I think they're ugly, she said, singling out the wreaths that are placed on light poles each holiday season. They're nasty, she said. When asked how old they were, Public Works Director Jim Grabarski admitted they were pretty long in the tooth. I know we've tried to revamp them and work with the bulbs, but I think we should try to see what we can do, added Harlan. In other action, the council was told the next round of business boot camp will begin on February 18th. Those wanting to take part can register at www.cityofmonticello.net. And they heard from Police Chief John Carter that he would bring a proposed marijuana enforcement fine ordinance to the council at a future meeting. The main reason would be to allow the city to retain revenue gained from fines collected. And on a related note, Summers said he would be bringing personnel policy changes to the council to account for changes needed due to the legalization of recreational marijuana use. Our next article is headlined, Attorney General Says Piatt County Daytime Meetings Do Not Violate the Open Meetings Act. An Illinois Attorney General Public Access Counselor has ruled that the Piatt County Board's 9 a.m. meeting times are not in violation of the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Assistant Attorney General Matt Hartman also ruled in favor of the county in areas of agenda detail and its two-minute limit on public speaking, items that were questioned by the City Participation Institute. The Winfield, Illinois-based charity has filed a request for review with the state on behalf of local resident Dave Oliger. While the OMA states that governmental meetings may be held at times that are convenient and open to the public, Hartman said appellate courts have ruled that the OMA implies reasonable access, not absolute accessibility. He noted that several other entities meet during the workday. While the county board meets at 9 a.m. most months, it has scheduled two evening meetings in 2020. The request also concerned meeting times for the Zoning Board of Appeals, which usually meets at 1 p.m. Piatt County Mental Health Board schedules theirs at 5 p.m. The Institute also questioned whether the county should be required to give more detail on agenda items, such as naming a person who is being considered for an appointment. As an example, the Institute pointed to an appellate prosecutor and an animal control administrator that were approved by the board on November 13th. The PAC ruled that although additional details would be helpful to better inform the public of the actions anticipated to be taken, Section 2.02C also requires agendas to set forth the general subject matter of those actions. As for a two-minute limit on members of the public to speak, Hartman said since the complaint did not allege that any member of the public was improperly restricted from addressing the board, he did not see evidence of a violation of the OMA, which states, any person shall be permitted an opportunity to address public officials under the rules established and recorded by the public body. But Citizen Participation Executive Director Stan Siegel thinks the ruling leaves the door open for a future appeal, especially on the two-minute rule. This has been the online edition of the news of the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated January 24th, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.